Get Drunk, watch it on Netflix in like 3 months.
There you go.
That's what all these kids' movies are good for these days.
True story. Right.
That is Sherlock Gnomes. Number five is Tomb Raider. Lara Croft, missing adventurer, pushes herself beyond her limit. She finds herself on the island where her father disappeared. It's made $10 million over the weekend and $41 million in 2 weeks. It's got a 6.8. on IMDb. What do you think, Derek?
No.
Tomb Raider.
No.
Skip it?
Skip it.
Shay?
Skip it.
Skip it. I'm going to do a skip it on Tomb Raider, too. I saw the first one at the drive-in, and I saw it once, and that was good enough for me.
I was going to say, like, shoot this thing in the foot. It's done.
I love two of the people who are in that movie, and I won't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You can only squeeze so much juice out of a franchise, you know?
It's got my man Walton Goggins in it. It's a movie I should want to see, but it just looks awful.
The next one is Wrinkle in Time, a Disney movie. Came out a few weeks ago. It's got a 4.2 out of 10. I know some people that saw it said it was awful. The disappearance of her science father, three peculiar beings send Meg, her brother, and her friend into space to find him. I'm a skip it on that one. Wrinkle in Time, Derek.
Wait until your kids are in college, get high with them, and watch it on home video.
All right, so we got to rent it from Derek and Shay?
See, I got to see it only because I was talking to my roommate about this movie the other night. We made a pact, and we both have a night off. We'll see it just solely based on the fact that this is one of my favorite books as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I do fully expect to hate it because I'd say 9 times out of 10 that I've seen movies that have been based on books that I love, I've been like, come on, so you did it wrong.
But you're going to watch it high.
She's going to watch it.
Oh, of
course
I'm going to watch it high.
Yeah. That's what this is.
So it's a Wrinkle in Time. Are you kidding? I'm sad that I didn't know to get high when I read it when I was 11.
This is Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
There you go.
For the new generation.
Number seven is Love, Simon. I'm going to hard skip it on this one. Simon keeps a huge secret from his family. Surprise, he's gay. It's got a 7. It's got an 8.1 out of 10. Supposedly doing really well, but I got no interest in seeing it.
I can't go see that by myself. Because every guy in the theater wants to sit next to me.
That's right.
For me, I think, I mean, I've heard great things about the movie, but it's also, I feel like it's very topical right now. Mm-hmm, like, it's were it not in a time where it's an important issue, I don't know that it would be getting such rave reviews. And I mean, mm-hmm. I haven't seen it. It might be fantastic, but at the same time, I'm just kind of like, well, you're kind of playing into the political scheme of everything right now.
All right, so sounds like a skip it across the board on Love, Simon. Paul, Apostle of Christ.
No.
Skip it.
No.
Without even hearing the description.
Right,
that might be the fastest skip it
I love
in
a good
history.
Jesus story. Mm-hmm. Are we so done with the biblical stories that we're down to Paul now?
It's down to Paul now. So to skip it across the board, how about yourself, Shay?
I mean, I'm going to go with the same thing I said about the last religious thing that came up, which is no. I love that if you look it up online, it's listed as drama / history.
Yes.
Are we sure this is history?
Yeah, actually. There's a book that outlines all of that stuff.
Finally, we got two more here, and then Big Picture coming up next. Game Night. A group of friends meet regularly for game nights and find themselves in a real-life mystery. This looks pretty good. I think I'm going to see this one.
I will rent that. I will watch that on Netflix because I love Jason Bateman.
I was going to say, I really like the cast of this. And it's one of those things that, like, when you and your friends are just sitting around hanging out, it's like, oh, we should get a movie. What movie should we get? It's not something that I think that I'd drop the money that movie theaters now cost to go see.
True story.
Looks pretty good, though.
I don't see comedies in the theaters anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, they're easy to rent.
I only do if I'm bored and have a couple hours to kill and it's just me alone. And, like, that's kind of the only movie that I like seeing alone in the movie theater because I used to be nervous about doing that. I'd be like, everybody's going to look at me being like, that poor girl, she's alone at the theater. But I remember the first one I saw, and it was This Is 40. And I was just, I had 3 hours to kill in Davis Square. And it was so nice being able to laugh with abandon, like without feeling self-conscious about the person sitting next to me. Because I'm like, I don't know you. I don't care.
Finally, Midnight Sun, number 10. A 17-year-old girl suffers from a condition, prevents her from being out in the sunlight. I'm a skip it on that one. It's a drama romance. First week made $4 million.
It sounds so romantic, but
yes. Yes, the $4 million's obviously coming from teenagers in high school.
Yeah.
The only way I see myself seeing this movie is if my mom begs me to watch it with her. So I'm going to say skip it unless coerced.
There we go. Derek Gary and Chase Spillane. See It, Rent It, Skip It. Now showing top 10. My name's Chris Earl. See you in a couple of weeks. I won't be here next week. The Big Picture is up next. Watch This with Chris Earl. Guest is George Wolfen in 2 weeks from tonight. Thanks for listening.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Chase Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Dial that into your phone. Give us a call. We love to hear from our listeners.
We do indeed, and we missed them so much last week.
We missed you last week.
For that joke of a snowstorm.
Oh, my God. Do not even get me started on how enraged I was sitting at home waiting for the snow.
Oh, yeah. I just kept looking
waiting
outside.
Waiting for the snow.
I was unpacking, as our listeners know. I think I moved into a new apartment recently, but I was starting to unpack some stuff, and like, I'd unpack for 2 hours, look outside. Nope, no flakes. Unpack for another 2 hours, look outside. Nope, no flakes. It was tormenting. And well, what's funny is that, I mean, they kept saying first it was supposed to be noon, then it was supposed to be 4, then it was supposed to be 7. And I remember I went to bed, and then my roommate's a chef, and he got home at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and he's in the room next door, so it kind of woke me up when he walked in. I wake up, I look outside, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This is, and I woke up the next morning, I literally like blew the snow off my car.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm just, get your
act together, meteorologist. Stop teasing us.
So bad. And they were all, you know, eating male parts of themselves the following day.
But like,
but I'm sitting there. See, here's what happens. It's not that I'm a weather wimp. It's not that Chase Spillane is a weather wimp.
Mm-mm.
It's that when these nor'easters come around, and they've been coming around on Wednesday this year for some unknown reason.
I have noticed that.
The city of Medford declares a parking ban, and there is no place for us to park.
Yes, we would legitimately have to park like miles away.
Yeah, because if we park in the tough slots, we get towed. And if you park during the snow emergency, you get towed. And I don't want to come out at 9 o'clock at night
in the snow
into
mind
a
you.
Snowstorm and not have a car. That's going to make me unhappy. So
yeah,
that's,
I think all of you can understand that.
Yeah, that's why we haven't been here, and it irritates me to not be here because
ditto on that, sir.
Inevitably, there's good stuff happening, but this past the one that we had.
The one we had a couple weeks ago.
Two storms
we
ago.
We straight up would not have been able to get here.
Now, well, we actually would have been able to get here. And I was sitting there and I was watching it and I was like, yeah, it's 6 o'clock at night. It's still not that
bad.
Well,
it's
not
even that we wouldn't be able to get here, it's that we wouldn't be able to leave.
Right. Between 7 and 9, like the snowpocalypse came and there was snow all over the place. So I was sitting there last Wednesday night at home and I'm like, well, you know, maybe this really heavy snow is going to come in and it's 7 and there's no snow and it's 7:30 and there's no snow and it's 8 and there's no snow and it's 9 and there's no snow. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me.
And guys, I will say though, I'm looking at the couch that's in our studio. I am not spooning with Derek on that for the evening. That's not...
Well, you wouldn't have to. There is heat in here, so it's not like we need to, you know, snuggle up for warmth.
Oh, that's right. I'd just make you sleep on the floor while I sleep on the couch. Still, exactly. It doesn't, you know, it's droopy. It's 70s-ish.
Yeah. You don't want to know what's happening on that couch.
I was going to say, I have terrible, terrible visions of what may have happened on that couch.
It's a really weird size, too. It's a small couch.
It is. It's, I mean, and I'm, as I think... our listeners know I'm 6 feet tall. Yeah, this would be a legs hanging over the arm situation.
It's a glorified love seat. Yeah. Is what it is.
Were I forced to sleep there.
On the plus side, Shea Spillane, it is wintered season.
Wintered.
Yeah. Do you know what a wintered is?
I think I'm about to find out.
Wintered is that pile of black, brown snow and ice that still lingers on the corners. We've got some quality winters.
Oh, yeah. Even driving up Boston Avenue up towards Tufts today, I looked and was like, oh, God. Yeah. It's like the only snow that's left, too. Like, yeah. The roads are completely clear. The sidewalks are completely clear. There's just, like, gross, massive plows pushed in here with a bunch of dirt and bleh.
We've got some beautiful winterds across from Curtis Hall if you want to come down and see prime example. My favorite, though, is the supermarket parking lot because inevitably the winterds are full of shopping carts. Shopping carts are the corn of winterds. That's how that works. So you got something interesting to look at.
The Target in Union Square, I mean, I go there all the time. In the past couple of weeks, I've just looked and been like, looks like someone built a fortress out of disgustingness around this thing.
But the great thing about wintered season is it means, and I hesitate to say this because I've been wrong about it so many times this winter, but it probably means that the winter's over. Like that we're
let's knock on some wood as you say that, D. Yeah.
As a another nor'easter is scheduled for next Wednesday night.
I was gonna say it's supposed to be 61 on Friday and then it's supposed to snow on Monday. Yeah. Will you make up your mind, Mother Nature?
Please shoot me now. Anyway, let's get caught up on what's going on in our world.
In local news, this is actually of significance particularly to you and I, Derek. Officials seized radio transmission equipment from two allegedly illegal stations in Boston on Monday. The stations known as Big City and B87.7 FM have been operating without a license from the Federal Communications Commission. Boston police and U.S. Marshals decided to intervene and confiscate the equipment after the station operators ignored several warnings from the FCC to stop broadcasting. Big City allegedly broadcasted on 100.3 FM, 105.3 FM, and 101.3 FM. So greedy, from studios in Dorchester and Roxbury, while B87.7 allegedly broadcasted on 87.7 FM and also had a station in Dorchester. The FCC was notified of the illegal station's existence through complaints, one of which came from a licensed broadcaster who found that the illegal station's broadcasts were interfering with his own. And for those of you who don't know, there's only so many wavelengths of radio. So if there's a station that operates under 100.7, if there's one at 100.3, it's going to interfere with the broadcast band of the station. I just found this very interesting, and it's funny that the police went in, because I like that their response was just to ignore the FCC when, as all of you know, we love you, FCC. Thank you for letting us do radio.
Well, it's interesting because
we really try hard not to anger the FCC. Let me put it that way.
I hope that wasn't the old WMFO transmitter that one of those stations was using, because we sold it. Because years ago, we got a bunch of new stuff and we sold all of our old equipment at the MIT swap meet. And sure enough, like, somebody started like encroaching on our signal a couple of years later, and we never knew for sure if it was our transmitter or not.
Yeah,
it was, because you can tune a transmitter to any frequency.
Well, that's what's interesting is that the equipment that they did confiscate, it was they didn't say found, but it was largely, it was secondhand equipment, clearly, because it was all, you know, it was clearly not something. It's like, we bought all of this setup in one sitting. It was all very much different brands, different ages, different.
Hopefully none of it had WMFO written on the side.
I was just going to say.
Really.
Hey, well, guys. You know. Police officers, I've always been really nice to you. Could you please just scrape off that WMFO bumper sticker from the side of the transmitter?
You can sell transmitters. There's nothing wrong with selling transmitters, but you sell a transmitter and who knows where it's going to wind up.
It's true.
It's ultimately what happens here.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So it's interesting to me that someone is actually cracking down on this because...
I mean, in this day and age of podcasts and everything, it's funny. I think that the big reason was... I'm sorry to mean to interrupt, but I think the big reason was actual licensed people. Like, that's what made them do the push.
But...
was that their frequencies are being interfered with.
But that's been a problem in Boston for years and years and years.
I mean, it's a problem radio, period.
And it's something that the FCC has always been like, we're not worried about it.
We can't expand bandwidth.
I'm sorry that the guy with the station wagon with the transmitter in it is parked in your backyard today. He'll be parked somewhere else tomorrow.
Breaker 19.
Because that's how Radio Free Boston used to operate.
Oh, that's right.
You'd see the station wagon driving around town with all the transmission, you know, with the transmitters sitting on top.
Well, and the reason I found the story so interesting and decided that, I mean, there were a couple of local stories I was considering to talk about tonight, but, I mean, obviously it's of particular interest to you and I.
Yes.
But it is what I've always found kind of fascinating and, for lack of a better term, beautiful about radio is that you can do that. You can just strap a transmitter to the top of your station wagon.
Well, you can.
You shouldn't.
You shouldn't.
But you can.
Apparently.
It's like wireless internet that goes way further. That's the way I always think of it.
Were these stations broadcasting anti-Trump propaganda? Is that what's going on here?
I wouldn't say that's the thing that I couldn't really... I mean... It seems like just a bunch of kids being dum-dums.
Yeah.
I mean, the station, one of them was named Big City. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't really get much research in terms of like what kind of broadcasting it actually was. I imagine that it was probably like one talk show and then them just airing music they felt like airing.
I'm guessing it wasn't fair and balanced news coverage of the sort that you get over here on the Big Picture.
I imagine not, no. I don't know if you're familiar with the areas of Dorchester and Roxbury, but I'm picturing in my brain just, there's so many just like abandoned warehouses. There's so much, like I remember I had a friend who lived on the Dorchester-Roxbury line and it was him and seven other artists just like, half illegally living in a warehouse where they had a bunch of studios out of, like not radio studio, but you know, where they just set a bunch of stuff up because it was cheap to do it there. So I'm picturing the type of places they must have raided and I'm thinking this wasn't like hard-hitting journalism. But I did find it very interesting.
Curious.
Anyways, in national news, hundreds of thousands of teenagers and young adults rallied on Saturday in the nation's capital and across America to press for gun control. The protest, named the March for Our Lives, was sparked by the slayings of 17 students and staff at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida on February 14th. According to researchers, the number of protesters in major cities throughout the nation may have reached more than 1.2 million, making it the biggest youth protest since the 60s. Like, wow.
And? Well, I mean, that's the question and all. Okay, we had our march. And?
We talked about...
What's next?
I was going to say, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. I do, as I said 2 weeks ago, I do like... I do... It gives me kind of hope for the future that these kids are so militant and so interested in making some sort of political change. I also, even in the 60s, I don't really know how much difference
But here's the thing. American politics... especially since the start of the 20th century, is a story of people who don't have power wanting it. And then when they get it, refusing to exercise it. Everybody gets all hopped up like, we need change and we need power and we need this. And you give them the vote and they're like, yeah, voting. Boy, is that a Tuesday? Ooh, don't really have time for that. And so I think the rally was fantastic. And as I said, I'm behind the kids 100%. There are some of them that I've heard enough from.
Yeah.
David Hogg is certainly one of the ones that I've heard enough from. And
I would say like every article that I was reading about this, that kid's name was everywhere.
Well, because he's everywhere. Yeah. And he was on CNN defending the police officer who did not go into the building and try and stop the shooter. God. Saying, you know, that guy has a right to be afraid for his life. Well, yeah, he does. But if that's his position, he should not be a police officer. Like, David Hogg, your friends died because that guy didn't do his job. But the problem is guns. And one of the things that I feared was going to happen with this, has happened with this, at least with David Hogg. I haven't seen it out of the other high-profile kids involved in this, but David Hogg is so busy having his rock star moment that he's doing whatever anybody tells him to do, and he's saying whatever anybody tells him to say, and he has become a very effective propaganda tool.
I was going to say, this happened like a week and a half over a month ago. He already has a Wikipedia page with almost a million views.
Oh, yeah.
Like, David Miles Hogg is an American student who survived the massacre of the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting on February 14th, 2018, and afterward became a gun control advocate and activist against gun violence in the United States.
All of which is fine. I'm on board.
All of which is fine, but this is in a month's time?
Yeah. Well, I don't think he was spending a lot of time researching gun policy in the United States before this.
That's what I'm saying, is that I agree with you that he's kind of leaning into his rock star moment.
Yeah.
And that can get, I mean, having seen it happen to other people not involved in tragedy, but just in general, like having someone say, oh, well, this is what you should do next, and this is going to keep the ball rolling on everyone paying attention to you. It's difficult to not, I mean, I know from my personal experience, having spoken for some organizations, them pushing me to do something and me having to say no and then having to separate from them, it is tempting. It's tempting to,
sure.
And again, like you said, great that he is an activist against gun violence. Like, that's awesome. But at the same time, I agree with you that it's dangerous territory to have this much attention and to be relishing it so much in such a short period of time. A month and a half ago, this kid was just a kid. You know?
My issue lies less with him than with whichever adults are putting the words into his mouth. Because what you've done is you've taken a vulnerable kid.
I'm going to say, and that's, we can't discount the fact that he did just experience the school shooting.
Right.
So he is the definition of vulnerable at this point.
It's a month out. You're not even done mourning yet. So you're taking a scared, vulnerable kid. You're putting him on the biggest stage in the planet, and you're telling him what to say. That is disingenuous on so many levels to begin with, that it sort of makes anything that he's... I mean, he's a good public speaker. I'll give him credit for that. You know, Hogg should go into politics. He should go into acting. He should go into something because he has presence and he has a voice. Now, as somebody who was young once, as difficult as that is for Shay and other people to believe...
You guys should see the light bouncing off his bald head right now.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, you handed me that.
I protested. I was a rock star. I gave big speeches. I got quoted in newspapers. I did all of those things. And I can tell you that the net result of everything that I did and everyone else at those protests did was zero. Nothing. Because you don't have political power. A march is not political power. Donald Trump was playing golf while this thing went on.
Oh, yeah, Saturday. And actually, I was going to say, as I was reading...
That's how worried he was about it.
And as I was reading about it, I loved... God, it's amazing how, with this 24-hour news cycle, how many minute details get paid attention to.
Yeah.
And one of the articles that I read about the March for Our Lives said that the Miami one, they took a different route, the presidential, like, What's the word I'm looking for?
Motorcade.
Motorcade, thank you. The presidential motorcade took a different route than it usually does, just to avoid in any way interacting.
What the kids should have done
go to his golf course.
Yeah, what the kids should have done instead of flying Bobby Kraft's Patriots plane up to Washington, D.C., is you should have gone and occupied the 17th fairway at Mar-a-Lago. Because if you inconvenience the president, you are going to get his attention much more than if you were in Washington, D.C. That said, this is a good moment because as a moment, it illustrates the frustration that Americans have with the lack of action on gun control in this country. Okay, there are some people who are making the usual mindless, never going to work statements, such as the retired Supreme Court Justice John Roberts, who said, we should suspend the Second Amendment. Okay, sir, that's not going to happen. You have David Hogg and some people on the left who are like, let's make all the guns disappear. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. The funny thing is that I think is important, which is something I've been trying to do in the past couple of years particularly, is that you have to look at any subject like this from both sides, because I'll give you an example, and I am in no way condoning slavery as I say this. But when I was in college, I took a modern American history course, and one of our assignments was we had teams of three, and we had to do a debate, and each one got assigned, one was from the 1700s, one was from the 1800s, da, 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 da. The debate I was assigned to was, should slavery be illegalized? Like, should slavery be abolished? And three of us were the North and three of us were the South. I was a farmer in the South. Our team won in the sheer terms of how the debate went. But, and again,
I also went to a Catholic university.
Again, I'm not going to, it was based on, are you kidding? Half the kids at my school weren't Catholic, which blew my mind when I got there. I was like, I thought most people were Catholic. Thank you, being raised in Boston. I'm not anymore, guys. You know this. Anyways, but I'm no way condoning slavery, nor am I condoning everyone being able to own whatever gun they want. The point I'm making is that because we are such a diverse country, I don't just mean in terms of culturally, but in terms of the views we have, the upbringings, the things that we've been raised with forever, it's irresponsible and unreasonable to try to say it's going to be all this or all that. Because for everyone that wants all guns to be legal, there's a person who wants them to stay as legal as they are. And if anything is going to happen, it's going to have to fall somewhere in the middle. Unless we want another civil war. It's just a matter of that you can't blindly 100% believe something without looking at the other side of it, of kids who've grown up with guns, like not kids, but you know what I mean? Like people who've had guns is just a part of their culture forever and have never used them violently against anybody, who use them to shoot tin cans on their farm. You know, it's things that, and again, I'm not saying that that's okay. I'm just saying that it's not really for anyone to try to blindly force everyone to look at their agenda and to agree with their agenda when they may have been raised incredibly differently from everybody else. And I do absolutely think that gun control is something we need in the country, obviously, given the everything that's happened since Columbine and even before that. But at the same time, nothing's going to get done if it's all or nothing on both sides. It's going to have to be a meeting of the minds of, well, here's what we need to do to make this better, as opposed to trying to butt heads about wanting 100% this way or 100% that.
Let me give you a sense of what you're up against. If you're in favor of gun control and you think that people power and, oh, these are the biggest protests since Vietnam, which is true. But let me give you a sense of what you're up against. The last time a citizen initiative resulted in a constitutional amendment to the United States was 1971. That was the 26th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which lowered the voting age from 21 to 18.
Yeah.
Because The American people felt that if we're going to draft kids and send them to die in Vietnam or some other battlefield, we probably ought to give them the ability to choose their elected leaders. And that made sense. The most recent attempt for a citizen-led constitutional amendment was the Equal Rights Amendment, which failed in the early 1980s. 1979, 1980, somewhere in there, it finally died. The only other significant citizen-led legislative changes have happened at the state level. And that's the new drunk driving laws that were put forward by Mothers Against Drunk Driving from the 1980s into the early 1990s. Mm. Since then, we haven't seen anything. Okay? This doesn't work. And here's why this doesn't work. Because on the one hand, yeah, we got a million plus people who march on Washington and Boston and every place else, but the Secret Service won't let them block the 17th fairway at Mar-a-Lago, so the president can ignore them. On the other hand, we got about 2 million Americans, maybe four, who are members of the National Rifle Association. Mm-hmm. And you know what they have? All the monies. They have all the monies. So instead of having the march, what you should have done was got those 1 million people and said, everybody give me $20. Now call up your friends and give me $20. We're going to set up a national organization. We are going to fund gun control candidates. We are going head-to-head against the National Rifle Association, and we are going to elect people who will bring about change. That's how you have to do it in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's and which is unfortunate because we kind of trick ourselves, because of how our country was founded, into thinking that it is all in the power. I guess it's almost just confusing wording to the beginning of the Constitution, because the power, you know, it's a country for the people, by the people, but our biggest power is who we elect, is who we back in terms of the people who are actually making laws. Running around yelling about what we want to happen is not effective, even though theoretically it seems like that, based on, like I said, how our government was founded, that's the way it should be. But unless we want to start another Revolutionary War, it does have to fall into the hands of the actual lawmakers. And yes, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I think that marches like this and marches like the Women's March, they buzz in lawmakers' ears, absolutely. But at the end of the day, our elected officials are still people, and people are inherently selfish, and they're going to want what they want, and because of that, that's why if you want to get a law change, if you want to have some actual progress as a result of this, you're right, Derek. Like you need to have the people who are going to be holding this power be people who have the interest that you have. You're not going to magically change a 50-year-old congressman's mind if his mind was already made up in another direction.
Well, you are if you walk in and say, we'll give you $1 million for your campaign.
But that's what I'm saying.
We'll spend $1 million to make sure you lose.
You're not going to just by marching through a major city.
No.
And
no, because the feeling in Washington is, let the kids make noise, and then they'll all go home.
Isn't it cute?
And they'll forget about it. And by the time the midterms roll around, nobody's going to be talking about any of this. Without a political organization to back it up, this is forgotten. That's the next step. That's why I say yes and. And what's next? Because those are the questions everybody involved in this should be asking.
Yeah.
Great. Amy Schumer got an opportunity to get her face on TV talking about how she hates guns. Wonderful. I found it very touching that Paul McCartney showed up down in New York.
Yeah.
And said, I lost a friend to gun violence. I mean, that's something my generation relates to very closely.
Yeah.
This is something that touches a lot of lives. And I think we all feel enough is enough. We're fed up with this. We want change. But if you want change, you have to take on the NRA.
Yeah.
Because our political leaders are afraid to do that. The NRA has all the monies.
And as I said, you're not going to change people's minds. You can't, like you said, with money, yeah, a lot of times people can be very easily swayed with money. But aside from that, if you have to consider that something as serious as wanting a deadly, like wanting the right to own a deadly weapon, this isn't something someone is like wishy-washy about. If you are an activist, if you are really for keeping guns legal, you're not changing your mind because a bunch of kids marched.
No.
And those are, as you said, those are the, and it's unfortunate. Like I, as you said, I do think it's great that they did this. I think it's great that they're so passionate, but they are, there are other ways to go about this that will actually yield results.
I'm waiting to see what's next. And I hope something is next because this is one that definitely needs
a next.
A what's next.
Yeah.
In world news, yes, that was North Korean President Kim Jong-un riding his father's bulletproof train to Beijing this week. Sources in the Chinese government said that Kim made his first trip outside North Korea since taking office in 2011 to meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping ahead of planned summits with South Korean officials and President Donald Trump. China reported that Kim is committed to denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula and that China remains supportive of its friendship with the isolated North Korean nation. So you probably saw the story. Hey, there's this train. Yeah. There's a train in China. What's up with the train? We think Kim Jong-un's on the train. Yes, Kim Jong-un was on the train. And and this is what you would consider a courtesy call because he's going to go over and he's going to talk to President Xi, and he's going to say, this is what I'm thinking of doing.
You're like, hey, dude, this cool?
What do you want to see? You know, what's going to be a problem for you? How do we handle this? It's basically him walking in and saying, I need you to have my back. So what do I have to do to make sure you have my back? And it's really...
Oh, bureaucracy.
It's really less of a concern for Kim Jong-un than he thinks, because China does not want anyone other than Kim Jong-un in North Korea. China does not want the United States on its border. China does not want a unified Korean Peninsula because that puts Western-friendly government on its border. China is more than happy.
They really don't like us very much, do they?
He is the junkyard. He is the junkyard dog that protects that border. And it's a very good border if you want to get into China and cause trouble, which everyone knows. So it's very strategic. So this is
this is just like, make sure that this isn't happening, please.
But the message coming out of China is excellent, because if Kim Jong-un is saying, yes, I want to get rid of the nuclear weapons, and as I said, you know, people were bringing up the question, well, why now? As I said on the show about a month or so ago, he has no more leverage ever than he has right now.
Yeah.
Short of firing the weapon, which he doesn't want to do because he knows what the consequences are. So Kim Jong-un has all the leverage he's ever going to get. Now is the time to sit down and plead your case, demand your concessions, and try and move forward. And maybe we get this thing done. It would be nice. It would be very nice.
It'd be nice if you get a haircut, too. I'm looking at pictures of Kim Jong-un right now.
Do not disparage dear leader.
He's not my dear leader.
In sports news, tomorrow is opening day for baseball. And this
year, that is not
just a name. All 30 teams will play on opening day, the first time that's happened since 1968. This is the earliest opening day in Major League Baseball history.
I was going to say, this feels early.
And is due to the new collective bargaining agreement with players, which guarantees 3 more days off each season. Mm. Those lazy bums. Baseball begins at 12:30 p.m. tomorrow on ESPN with the Chicago Cubs traveling to Miami to take on the Marlins. By tomorrow night, half of the league's teams will see their dreams of an unbeaten season disappear.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
I've been waiting with bated breath for that lovely sport.
I think when they announced
lovely game.
When they announced this, I was excited about this because this is opening day. This is a real, genuine, it's not, oh.
And like legit, this is the earliest, I mean, that's what, it's funny. Somebody actually even asked me the other day, because they're like, Shay, you're a baseball nerd. Like, when's opening day? I said, usually like preseason starts the first week of April. But it, I can't remember a time that it's ever had a March date.
Well, now we know these hardworking baseball players need another 3 days off. You know, because standing in that outfield,
swinging your arm really hard with a wooden bat can take it out of you.
A bunch of millionaires standing around waiting for something to happen. That's baseball.
But then something happens.
Yeah, but then something happens. Cat-like reflexes kick in. But I think it's cool because for the last couple of decades, opening day has been like, oh yeah, there's a day on the calendar that says opening day. And it's like, well, there's a game on Sunday night on ESPN before any of that. And then if opening day is on a Thursday, well, you got a few games here and there, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. No, this year it starts on one day.
Everyone's day or everyone's season starts tomorrow.
Everybody plays. That's cool. I like it.
It's very cool.
I like it. That's the way the NFL does it, other than that stupid Thursday night game that they got to have.
Well, and it's, if you'll pardon the pun, it's a level playing field.
Yeah.
Because it's not like no one really even has a chance to look around and be like, oh, whose team is doing the best? Because it's all just happening all at once. I'm so excited.
I think it's good for the sport. I think it's good for the fans. I think it's a win all around. Mm. And I hope they keep doing this in the future. You know, although knowing them, they'll figure out a way to add another 20 games to the season and start in February, which I don't want to see. There's too much baseball as it is.
It seems like it'd be really hard to run the bases in the snow. Well, in entertainment news, the mom of a special needs child is suing actor Edward Norton's production company after her apartment building went up in flames during the filming of a movie there. Erica Cruz lived on the fourth floor of the Harlem, New York building, which Norton's company was using for a set for Motherless Brooklyn, which is a film starring Norton, Bruce Willis, Willem Dafoe, and Alec Baldwin. Late last Thursday night, a fire broke out during filming, killing decorated 15-year veteran FDNY firefighter Lieutenant Michael Davidson, who was 37. Two other firefighters suffered serious burns, and several civilians received minor injuries. David Jaroslawicz, an attorney for Cruz, filed the $5 million lawsuit in Manhattan Supreme Court yesterday, which was the same day that thousands mourned Davidson during a funeral. Cruz's brother, George Cruz, who holds the lease for the apartment, is also listed as a plaintiff. The building's landlord, Vincent Salazzo, and Norton's production company, Class 5 Films, are named as defendants.
There's insurance to pay for this. So the lawsuit is to raise attention, but Edward Norton is not going to go broke over this.
The thing is more, like, as I looked more into the story, it's more, I mean, yeah, Norton's definitely got insurance for this, but more it was about the fact that the landlord allowed them to use the building because he got you know, obviously a nice chunk of money for doing that.
Yeah, you get paid for that.
Knowing the effects that they were going to be using in the film, so it was a malfunction basically of live special effects that allowed this to happen.
Yep.
It was this story, just like it's always. Funny is the wrong word, I'm sorry. But it's always interesting, let me put it that way, when kind of worlds collide in terms of, like, you know, you always watch movies that are set in Boston or set in New York or what have you, and you don't really consider the fact that real people live in those buildings or own those businesses, or even down to Tom's restaurant on Seinfeld. That's an actual restaurant in New York City that gets pictures taken of it 20,000 times a day. It's interesting to see worlds collide.
Jerry's
like
apartment, meanwhile, was in Los Feliz. So, you know, go figure that out. It's sad because things can go wrong when you're using fire and smoke effects. And even when you're running that much lighting off of, you know, somebody plugs something in a house current and a circuit overloads.
Yeah.
We still don't know what caused this. The special effects malfunction is believed to be the cause, but they may find other things. It's tragic when something like this happens. And it's sad that a firefighter lost his life and the people have lost their home. But that's sort of what happens when you're dealing with the movie industry.
Yeah. And like I said, which is why the focus, I believe, is more on the landlord than on the production company itself. It's just that if there's a big fish involved, you're going to go after the big fish. Like, what does the landlord have? Maybe he owns that building, maybe a couple more, but
I'm guessing he owns a lot more than those couple of buildings if they're going after him, because the most obvious thing to go after is the insurance company and get the settlement, which I'm sure they will. And I hope everybody, you know, who's affected by this can be made whole over time, because it's sad.
Well, that's the part I forgot to mention. The other aspect was that none of the fire alarms in the hallways that were supposed to be up to code were up to code. So it was also a matter of him being negligent as a building owner, even aside from the fact that it set on fire from him leasing it to a movie.
That'll give you something to go after the landlord for.
Yep.
That's never good. In technology news, keep an eye on the sky for the next few days. An out-of-control Chinese space station, Chang'e 1, is expected to crash back to Earth at some point near Easter.
Well, snap.
And Boston is in the potential landing zone, which covers a wide swath from 43 degrees north latitude to 43 degrees south latitude. Most of the space station is expected to break apart in spectacular fashion as it enters Earth's atmosphere, but people are cautioned to stay away from any wreckage they find on the ground, which could be contaminated with a toxic and highly corrosive substance known as hydrazine.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah. So,
can't wait.
If for some reason you get space station wreckage in your backyard, don't touch it. Call the local authorities and say there's Chinese
space equipment in my yard.
There's Chinese space station in my backyard.
That is my favorite sentence I've ever said.
Please come remove it.
There's Chinese space equipment in my backyard.
Because what you don't want is your hand getting burned off by hydrazine because you thought, oh, I'll keep this.
Yeah.
And I'll put this in my pocket.
What a cool thing to display in my living room.
Yeah. But it's kind of interesting that, you know, Boston, we could be getting hit by a Chinese space station this weekend.
Huh, nice.
Yeah.
And ironically, on April Fool's Day, about a prank.
And Easter. So, you know, not
Oh, right, it's Easter too.
Yeah.
Sorry, Catholic grandparents.
Come on. You should know it's Easter. Even if you're mad at religion, you can't be mad at Easter.
I'm not mad at religion. I'm indifferent to it. Well, there's a difference.
You get the bunny and the eggs, and it's all good. Or if you're at my house, you get the bunny because your wife doesn't like the eggs. And
is she cray?
That's the way it goes. She hates eggs. She hates eggs. She hates
Molly,
eggs.
If you're listening, come on. Everyone has at least one kind of egg that they
she's
like.
She's not. She's got rehearsal tonight, so she's not listening to this. And it is what it is.
Well, dang.
No eggs for me.
No eggs for you.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Dare I say spring?
Don't.
Dare I say spring?
You say it and we're going to get a foot of snow, Derek.
It is spring. I mean,
in the technical sense of the term, yes, it is spring, but...
It is spring and temperatures are generally going to be above freezing. For the next
temperatures. That's the saddest, most New England statement I've ever heard. Temperatures are generally going to be above freezing
for the next couple of weeks. So maybe we're doing something here tonight. If you're going out, you are going to want to bundle up. Partly cloudy skies, low in the upper 30s tomorrow. Mostly cloudy skies. Might be a shower around here and there. High in the low 50s. Lows in the mid 40s tomorrow night. Friday, regular showers wherever you are. Those April showers come a couple days early. High around 60 degrees on Friday. Lows around 40 degrees Friday night. Saturday, sunny. Time to get out and start cleaning up that yard, kids. High in the mid-50s, lows in the low 40s Saturday night. And then Sunday, clouds in the morning, sun in the afternoon, wind all day long, high of about 50 degrees, lows right around freezing Sunday night. So that's what you got.
So it's a roller coaster of emotions is what you're saying.
Yeah. So we're, you know, but a little bit of rain here and there. Saturday's going to be a winner for the yard work. And... we're not going much below freezing, so we may have turned a corner here, is what I'm saying. You know,
I'm knocking on so much wood for you, listeners.
This might be that out like a lamb thing that we've been waiting for, and Lord knows we've been waiting for it. It is WMFO Medford on the Towel, Mikey D, coming up at 9 o'clock. Until then, you're with Derek Gary and Chase Spillane on The Big Picture. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. Coming up later tonight, we're going to get you caught up on the Cambridge Analytica Facebook fiasco.
Yay, yay.
What it means to you, why you should be paying attention to the story. But before that, after this, all the other stories that caught our attention here on WMFO Medford.
Be an alert shopper. Watch for specials at your meat counter. If you're not taking advantage of them, you could be missing out on enjoyable eating and an economical way of stocking your freezer. Always know what cut you're buying and its best use. If you buy meat marked USDA Prime, Choice, or Good, you'll know what quality you're getting. For more information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
Ranger Station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yep, he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Spillane. With me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Mr. Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. And now one of our favorite parts of the program, which is called Did You Hear?, where we quiz slash try to humiliate each other based on the news stories from the last week. And I'm going to start with Grindr.
Grindr. Mm-hmm. That's the gay dating
gay
app.
Gay Tinder.
Isn't
yeah.
it? The gay Tinder?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really been keeping up on the Grindr news, to be honest.
Really, Derek? You?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, did I miss my connection?
No, apparently. So apparently it broke yesterday that Grindr suffers from multiple security issues that can expose the information of its more than 3 million daily users, including the location data of people who have opted out of sharing such information. The security flaws were identified by Trevor Faden, who is CEO of the property management startup Atlas Lane, after he created a website called, word I can't say on the radio, but expletive blocked. Can say that his website his website allowed users to see who blocked them on Grindr after they entered their Grindr username and password, but once they did so, he realized he was able to gain access to all of their user data, including like unread messages, email addresses, deleted photos, location data, and like even with the people who have the highest level of security. And so currently multiple investigators are looking into Grindr's coding to try to see how they can protect all these fabulous gay men.
You know, not to mention multiple bad actors who are trying to find people they can out, no doubt. So that's...
Well, I was going to say, that's the thing is that, I mean, Grindr, the part of the whole point is like, well, if I see you on there and you see me on there, then it's kind of just a secret we share. But yeah.
Well, that's not good. That's not good. Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels.
Said with the best Boston accent.
Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels. She's a porn star.
Is this the one who is paying back the money for her NDA?
No, she's not. But I don't know if she did that or not.
Well, then enlighten me.
Well, yes, it
but
is.
But it is it who is. I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's who you're, but that's not the story.
Well, what's the story then?
22 million people tuned in to watch her on 60 Minutes on Sunday night.
Oh my goodness.
I was among those 22 million, and I would like those 60 minutes of my life back at CBS. She slept with the guy once. Once. That's not an affair. Is that an affair, Shay?
It's cheating, but it's not an affair.
So it's right. It's a one-night stand.
I wouldn't call it like an affair is like multiple occasions, like we had a relationship. Like that's when I think of an affair, I think of it as like, yeah, it's not, I wouldn't, he had an affair with her. Saying that implies like they talked a lot. There were multiple times that they slept together, not like, oh, there was one drunken night in Reno, you know?
Well, they met on multiple occasions, and I believe he asked her for sex another time, and she said no and left. But that's
an affair is multiple.
An affair is like we're sneaking off into the corner every chance we get, and boom, boom, boom.
Exactly. It's like we have a relationship aside from your actual relationship.
Yeah. So, you know, there's your... the only newsworthy thing that came out of this was Stormy Daniels saying, look, I'm not part of the Me Too movement. Stop associating me with the Me Too movement. I am not a victim. That's it.
Oh, cute.
That, and she has a very thirsty lawyer who is clearly a Democratic operative. So this is another dimension of the Take Trump Down at All Costs campaign that is being waged in certain corners of this country. And this is a really embarrassing moment for 60 Minutes, because 60 Minutes has been sort of the last bastion of great journalism and great broadcast journalism in this country. And to see 60 Minutes wallow in this muck of a non-story tarnishes the history, tarnishes the credibility, tarnishes the brand.
Well, and in addition to that, it not just the brand of 60 Minutes, but if, I mean, you of all people know how much I dislike our president. But if he's going to be taken down, I want it to be for actual legitimate reasons.
Right. Not
for some pandering, grasping at straws, oh, maybe this will do it reason.
Oh, he slept with a hooker 10 years before he got elected.
Yeah. Like, that's the definition of grasping at straws.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, that's the thing is that it, I agree with you that it does diminish the integrity of 60 Minutes, but also the integrity of people who genuinely want to see Trump taken out of office. This makes us look stupid. Like, this is like, really? This is your go-to this week?
Yeah.
That he slept with some random woman like over a decade ago.
22 million Americans let out a collective shrug at 8 o'clock on Sunday night, and we had to watch Duke lose to even get to that point.
God, my brain hurts.
Lousy Duke.
Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman was allegedly stabbed by someone last night, and then he immediately ran to social media to ask for more money on his GoFundMe page after both doctors and the Los Angeles police raised significant questions about whether or not he had in fact been stabbed.
Yes, that is entirely correct. And what I love too, that if you look at his tweet, he says, thank God it was just me and three security personnel. It was you and three security personnel? What were they doing while you were being stabbed,
yeah,
if you were actually stabbed? He said they were distracted. How distracted could three guys be? I can see, one, he's dealing with another person that's trying to bother you. But three, it's like, sweetheart, you're not famous anymore. It's okay. You can go get, you know, a normal job.
Well, the Hollywood pedophiles are coming to kill him, apparently.
Oh, of course.
Keith Raniere,
no idea.
He is the leader of the NXIVM cult, which turned its most loyal female members into sex slaves who were branded with his initials. Mr. Raniere was arrested in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and will be extradited to the United States to face sex trafficking charges. There's been an ongoing expose of this organization that he ran, which is a sex cult. There's no other way to describe it. Also on the potential arrest list is former Smallville star Allison Mack, who was the second in command of NXIVM.
No way.
Yeah. And apparently was instrumental in recruiting a lot of Hollywood types into the organization.
Why are these guys always... I never understand. They're never attractive.
Women were branded with his initials.
That's what I'm saying. Is it's like, what you can get normal dude.
Now, Ranier learned from the best, because one of the things that this cult did was if you wanted to join... You had to provide not only compromising stories, but any sort of compromising photographs, text, emails, anything you had, not just about yourself, but about your friends and family.
So basically, you could be blackmailed into not having anything, any power whatsoever.
Well, so that if you ever thought of leaving or ever thought of telling anybody what was going on, they could then come back and not just ruin your life, but the lives of everyone you know. You know who else does that? Scientology.
I was just going to say, that reminds me of a very specific organization.
It's funny how going clear seems to involve coughing up a lot of compromat.
Yes, evidently. Baltimore 911.
Was hacked.
Yes.
Allegedly. And I'm going to put an allegedly on this because I saw the story and their server went down. So they couldn't handle automated 911 requests. Everything had to be done manually. You know,